Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer your questions that you're too afraid to ask. I said it wrong.
You did.
Oh, no.
Do you want to try again?
The podcast where we answer the questions that you're too afraid to ask.
Yeah. And this week's topic is constantly coming out.
Yeah. So we've touched on this topic in other episodes. As you know, we've discussed coming out. We've talked a bit about different times that we've come out, how to come out. We've given advice on coming out. But
Have we talked about coming out?
I think we have. I think once, maybe twice.
It's in passing, probably.
But we still get so many questions about coming out, and a lot of them are in regard... Ooh, sorry.
Excuse the fuck you.
It's my mom. I was like, who else would text me?
Dawn. She's asking, are you gay?
She's like, I overheard that you're coming out.
Wait, what?
But we quite often get asked more about more casual coming out scenarios. I think a lot of people, when they think about coming out, think directly to coming out to your mom, your dad, you know, your grandparents. And like we've stated before, coming out is, unfortunately, in a lot of cases, a lifelong process. As you meet new people, you kind of consistently have to come out. So today we're going to talk about that. But first, everyone, I bet no one can guess what I'm about to do.
Come out.
She's gay. But first, I wanted to thank our patrons, Aiden, Olivia, Liz, Serena, and Amanda. Thank you so much for your support. And to all of our patrons, we appreciate you so much. If you want to go listen to our 3 bonus episodes that we already have up on our Patreon, and also join a Discord community of the Gabers, you can go to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. Click the link in the bio. All the information is going to be there. There's also our merch. And you can also follow us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And until next time, we'll see you.
I literally was like, she's signing off. She's signing the fuck
She's
off.
She's out of here.
Yeah, the Discord's like pretty fun. I feel like
so fun.
There's just good vibes
totally.
All the time. Yeah. It's so nice to just talk to people.
I was on there yesterday and had a few fun interactions, and it's good vibes. And I feel like as we continue to grow it, it's gonna be a really fun space to get advice from one another, be in a safe space of people that clearly listen to this podcast. So I think that they're, you know, caring. They care about LGBTQ plus issues. And they listen to us all the time. So you already have a common ground.
So you know everybody on there is psycho.
Absolute trash.
Just nuts, nuts, nuts.
But yeah, no, it's fun. And we appreciate all of you that are supporting us and keeping our ad space on this podcast minimal. Minimal. Did I say it? Minimal?
I think you put a B in there.
Oh, God. You know what? It's...
Okay, we need to talk about the fact that you're dressed like a baby right now. Bree came over. She is dressed like a toddler. And I don't even mean that in an insulting way. Like, I'm kind of obsessed with it. I've never seen your hair up like this. You just look like so, like, fun.
I'm just fun.
Like,
no, literally when I walked in, Sean's like, you look like a toddler. And I don't mean that in a bad way somehow. Like, it's fun and it's, like, cutesy. I'm wearing a... hoodie, like a tie-dye hoodie, sweatpants, tie-dye socks, and then I've got my hair up, half up, half down, and a little scrunchie, so I got this little, like, ponytail on top of my head.
Maybe we'll post a picture of the toddler fet.
Oh, over on the Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. I'll take one when I get home so we don't forget.
Perfect.
Okay.
Or I'll take one of you before you leave this apartment.
Okay, cute.
Because like you'll probably forget.
Yeah, that's true. No, I was just, like, doing work from home today, and usually I'll get changed to come over and record, and then I was like, I'm just gonna maintain this.
I will say, okay, there are positives. This is so off track, because this is nothing to do about constantly coming out. Mm-hmm. But there are positives and negatives about working from home. Obviously, I have been blessed with the fact that I am working from home this whole time. But one of the biggest positives for me about working from home is not having to dress business casual. And sometimes I get a little sad because I've been wearing sweats for over a year in a row now, you know, every day. But, like, there's nothing worse than having to look nice every day.
It's so annoying.
It's so tiring.
And you know what? It's funny, actually, that we're talking about this because I just recorded a YouTube video before I came here, and I was talking about how in different times in my life, I dressed for other people for different reasons. And a big thing in university that was like drilled into me was to look professional. You won't get a job unless you look professional.
Yeah.
And, you know, it to me, this whole time working from home has allowed me to take a step back and realize what like BS that is. I'm not saying other people still won't perceive you differently, but can we all just bring it back to like, these are pieces of cloth hanging off of our bodies. Like, it's so ridiculous to me that any way of dressing is going to make you less good at your job or capable of doing a job.
And I think that we're really diving into this. I think that has such a direct correlation to the weird, and I will tie this into the topic. Don't worry.
I've pictured the full circle. Okay.
I think that directly ties into the weird workplace culture that people believed for the longest time that having piercings, tattoos, colored hair, things like that made you worse at your job or unprofessional.
Right.
And I'm so happy that millennials and Gen Z are like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I'm doing the job exactly the same.
Yeah.
Even if I'm meeting with clients, like, I would rather meet with a client. If I was to meet with a client, I'm not going to be wearing sweatpants.
No, yeah.
But I would rather be wearing my comfortable clothing that I wear every day because the interaction will be more comfortable.
Totally.
Everything will just, anyways, it's dumb. So, my circle.
Here we go.
There are a lot of ways that I can't relate to constantly coming out. And I've talked about this before because I am very gay. Outwardly gay, gay voice, gay clothes, stereotypically.
That's a throwback with gay voices.
Yeah.
That episode.
Like, there's no way somebody's listening to this podcast and being like, is he gay? You know, you could listen to this podcast and think, oh, it's a gay and his straight friend.
Right, yeah.
But you're not thinking, is that a straight man and a straight woman? You're just not. So that is, there's a lot of ways that this topic almost kind of is handled for me. We've talked about this before, but the second I enter a room, people know that I'm gay.
Right.
So I've had to have that conversation mostly with older people, like grandparent age, because they don't really pick
it
up the faggoty vibes I'm giving off. They're like, is he gay or is he just new and fresh?
Oh my
you know?
God.
I think also like there's kind of like an ambiguity to young people that they just don't
I'm giving them so much to process. Totally.
That's one of the things I have to get to. But one of the times that I do constantly have to come out, and it is probably the most prominent, is in the workplace.
Right.
And some of that is because so much of my work is conducted over email, especially now, because it's COVID. So usually I was in the office, we would be having clients in, we'd be, I do interior design for anybody that doesn't know. I don't really talk about it a lot on this podcast.
You don't actually.
No. So yeah, I do interior design. I work for a residential interior design firm, and a lot of ours before would be clients coming into the office or reps coming into the office or, you know, people dropping off samples. It was a ton of in-person. That's why I had to look decent, which is funny though, because I do have tattoos and I'm like, please give me your money. But it was a lot of in-person interaction. So it was a ton of me emailing people, that ball rolling, and then them meeting me and me being like, hey,
this is the person.
And thankfully, design is, I would say, one of the most women-led professions, interior design, especially in Vancouver. And a lot of reps are women or gay themselves. It's a, you know, a pretty solid field. But this is where it really, really switches. You know what isn't a very gay and women-run business? Construction. Contracting.
Yeah.
Concrete pourers. Tilers. Roofers.
Yeah, it's like the two worlds collide. Like, you couldn't be more yin and yang.
Honestly. And that's, I would go to site, if we're building a house, I would go to site in heeled booties like, you know, like a snatched little jacket, like a full outfit. And I'm trying to have a conversation with somebody. And I know that, first of all, they're dismissing me because of my age. I'm like 20 years younger than anybody else. So people are like, why did you get sent here? Where's your guardian? And then I think the other is like, wow, like this is a very gay. And some of that could be internalized. Some people could just be vibing with me. But I can tell you a lot of them are not vibing with me. And that's something that I do struggle with a lot. It's hard to get people to take me seriously in the workplace, specifically construction related.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I think for a lot of people, once you get to a certain age, the workplace is kind of where you're more consistently coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, before we move on to whatever rant I'm about to go on, in the times that you aren't coming out, like, do you still feel like, I guess, like, in your sense, you say when you walk into the room, you're basically coming out, right? Like, so you don't get as far as, like, actually having to say it or make it be known, but you're walking into the room. Like, do you still feel that way when you go to, like, a party? Like, when you walk in, like, are you, like, in when parties were a thing?
Yeah.
Or when you walk into, like, a restaurant? Like, are you conscious of that still? Or is that not a thing for you
anymore? I'm so conscious of it, but I'm at the point that it doesn't affect me mentally.
Yes.
It used to be I was so ashamed of being gay.
Right.
Even when I first came out, I was so ashamed of being gay. Like, that's just the reality.
Yeah.
That when I would go to a restaurant or a party, that's all I was thinking about.
Right.
And now I think about it, I know, because I can see the eyes and feel the eyes on me.
Yeah.
I know that's what people are still thinking. That's the world we live in. But now I genuinely don't give a fuck.
Yes. You're just like, oh, they're computing the fact that I'm gay right
now. Yeah. Unless it's, also the thing is, I'm an adult now, so the parties I'm going to are gay parties.
Right. Yeah, you get past that where you're not going to, like, the house parties anymore with, like, a collection of individuals.
Yeah, I'm going to vegan restaurants, which are mostly gay people anyways, you know? So my bubble is pretty queer, thankfully.
Yes.
But that also has a negative that when it isn't... Oh, here's a good example.
Yeah.
We have a cabin up in the Okanagan, and... which is like a weird desert wasteland 3-4 hours away from Vancouver.
Yeah.
And it's on a lake. And the only store within, unless you want to drive like 45 minutes to an hour into town, the only store is a gas station.
Right.
That's like a 15-minute, 10-minute drive away.
Yeah.
Do I have like a booger? Or am I just like having a stroke? Okay.
I think you're just having a stroke. I don't know if that's better, but I
like
think
my
you're
nose
just
is like, it must
have
allergies.
I like how that was the better thing. Like, oh, do I have a booger or am I just having a stroke?
Oh, thank God.
Thank God, it's just a stroke.
And so. The water that comes into the cabin is lake water, so you can brush your teeth with it, you can flush the toilet with it, but you always bring those big-ass water jugs that you put in the thingy
and
with the button and you fill it up. So when you run out of those, you have to go get them at the store 10, 15 minutes away. I drove to the store, got out of my car, and I was wearing shorts, not even the shortest shorts I have, shorts, like a tank top, it was summer, and runners. I have never in my life, to the point, and this is kind of like where my bubble is so queer, and the only time I really realize it or think about it is where I feel unsafe.
Correct.
It was to the point that every single person pumping gas stopped.
Oh, God.
The clerks stopped.
Oh,
the people in the bakery stopped. And I was like, nobody is not looking at me right now.
Yeah.
And it's
That's
also
scary.
That kind of situation that I'm trying to be less flamboyant in my actions. I'm honestly trying to talk as little as possible because it's like I know that I'm so confusing right now that I'm trying to diminish myself, which is gross and weird to say.
It sucks.
But yeah, so that was things like that I definitely noticed. But in my everyday life, I am very conscious of it, but I don't care.
See, that's me too. Like that, I relate to that a lot in the sense that I feel like we're so lucky with where we live, and I say that with a grain of salt because there's obviously a lot of really terrible things about Vancouver and things that could be way better about Vancouver and all that. But I do think because of the queer representation we see, despite certain people still having very homophobic or transphobic point of views, there's enough gay people,
yeah,
queer people out there, that I do feel safer because I know I'm not like the one, you yeah know, I'm not like sticking out like a sore thumb. So even when I'm not in queer spaces, it's pretty rare that I would go to like a brewery around Vancouver and I would feel like there was no one else who
somebody has a gay cousin.
Yeah.
There's some gay in the family or the friends.
Yeah. Or someone's there or like whatever it may be. Like the spaces that I go, like you jokingly saying vegan restaurants, tend to be that I would never walk
Starbucks,
in the door. Yeah. And be like the only one.
Yeah.
Right. But Julia and I prior
you
to
might
COVID,
be the only gay toddler in this.
That's
house.
True. That is true. Especially at the brewery.
They're like, wow, she's out at such a young age.
Fresh, good for her.
You love to see it.
Julia and I do love to road trip.
Yeah.
And with that, there's a lot of gaps in between where we leave and where we're going that we have to pull over for gas or that we wanted to like stop in and just look. And those are the moments that I really notice. Because again, like what we're talking about in this episode is not those like big sit down moments you usually think about with coming out, like I would argue with people that you actually care about their opinions of you, in the sense that like, oh, if this person doesn't accept me, it could totally change the course of my life.
Yeah.
When we're talking about parents, close family, things like that, but rather like people that you just happen to cross in life, your paths cross, and like you're like, they're gonna become aware of this quickly. And one was when we were going to Portland. We were driving down, and on the way, there was this, in this, like, middle of nowhere town, a treehouse Airbnb. And the reason we wanted to stay there, because it was, like, a treehouse, it was fucking sick.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it was, like, so cool. And we honestly...
Toddlers love treehouses.
And we honestly didn't think much of it, which was ignorant on our part, because we knew where we were going. Portland, the actual like city itself, was very progressive, and
I will say there's a lovely stretch of highway as well.
Oh,
when it's like Trump.
Yes.
I hate abortion.
Oh,
gay
God.
People burn.
Yeah, legit. So you're driving down there, and you're like, "Yay, we're on our trip!" You cross over the border, and you're going down, and you're like, oh, fuck.
And you're like,
oh, fuck.
Like, there's going to be such good beer when we get there.
Yeah, but that stretch before you get, like, once you get in the city,
yeah,
you feel great. Like, there's queer-friendly strip clubs and queer bars and, like, all the businesses that are independently owned have flags in their windows. And it's, like, very much, but it's, like, very much a little bubble in, like, a hellhole of homophobia,
yeah,
surrounding it. And we were just ignorant in that. So then we're driving down and we're, like, you know, seeing all the fucking signs. And we're like, oh, Jesus.
Great beer.
Like, so we're like, oh, my God. And it just kind of dawned on us as we're driving down there. Oh, my God, we're going to this treehouse. And it is, like, the smallest, like, farm. The reason they have it is because it's on, like, a farm.
Yeah.
You know, on their acreage. Like, just, like, we were driving down. We're like, not to make assumptions, but this is, like, the most conservative area ever.
Yeah.
All these signs everywhere, pro-Trump, all these signs, like God hates F-words, all these things. And I'm, like, driving down, and I'm, like, oh, my God. Like,
the panic
Julia, we
starts
didn't even
to set
the
in.
Panic. Because we're, like, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just lose our whole fucking, like, stay? We can't cancel. Now we're supposed to be there in 2 hours. With no explanation, out of, like, fear. But that's, like, a weird thing that a queer person has to deal with that a lot of people don't, won't understand unless they've ever
yep.
been in that position, that I'm like, we're gonna walk up there and it's gonna go one way or another.
Yeah.
Either they're gonna be totally chill and it's gonna be awesome.
Or you'll be burning on a stake.
like, it's actually the point where it kind of gets scary. So much so that I said, who booked it? Because we both have the Airbnb app, and Julia's app has a picture of the two of us. And
right.
we've done that on purpose.
Yeah.
Because when people are accepting us or whatever,
they see what they're getting into.
Yeah, they see the two of us. We have the little bio about us or whatever it is.
You should do a rainbow ring
around, around the picture.
Yeah.
That's good too.
Or the picture should just say, we're gay.
Yeah, we're gay.
No people on it.
We're gay. Hope that's yeah. okay. Just that.
Two lesbians.
This is what you're getting into. Yeah. And then mine was, I set up when I was traveling way back when. It's just literally a picture of me when I was like 21 and backpacking Europe.
Yeah.
And the bio is like, I've never updated it. And it just so happened I booked it. So I was like, fuck, like, what are the chances? And you're just, it's so stupid that that's, that you have to think about that. But I'm like, we're going to walk up and they're going to see us and they're going to very clearly realize that we are in this one bedroom treehouse with like someone who outwardly appears very stereotypically gay, like Julia.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is if you booked it, you could almost go, you know, undercover.
Incognito.
Yeah. You could be, hey, yeah. My friend is in the car still.
Yeah, exactly.
But I am here.
But this thing, it's on their property. It wasn't even like one of those ones. It was like, fuck.
I think there is something inherently fruity about a treehouse, though.
Oh, absolutely. You know? Like, they probably get a lot. So anyway, so we go up there and we've stopped because we had heard that this treehouse has like a fire pit like beside it and stuff, so we got marshmallows and blah, 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 blah. So we're like, let's just do it, you know, like we'll pull up and we'll just like get a sense, like if they have a fucking big ass Trump flag in front of their house, we'll maybe skirt out of there. Yeah. Real quick. So we pulled up and this lady comes out and meets us, and she's like the nicest ever, and it was like fantastic.
Yeah.
And like even little things, like we left like half the bag of marshmallows in the treehouse because they had like some other snacks in there, and we just texted her and said, hey, we left for the next guest or whatever, and she was like, oh my gosh, thank you girls so much, if you ever want to come back, like you're fantastic. And it's like, that's the thing, a lot of times that happens, but it could have been bad.
Totally.
And that's something that queer people have to think about. It's like, in that moment, we were coming out to a stranger, and we were out of country, in a random small town. You don't know who's coming out to meet you, who's the owner of this house.
Yeah.
You don't know the vibe, and it's just like, it's just a different thing that has to cross your mind. And a lot of the times that I feel unsafe, like you were saying, like, is when I'm in these smaller towns where I'm very aware that, yes, they've probably met gay people before, but they might not know that they have. And I'm going to be the standout of the day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that, like us walking into this space is going to be something that stands out to them. And that's when I become very aware of it.
Yeah.
Even agreed. Like the servers coming over, like, oh, this was so funny. So Julia and I for brunch went out to, sorry. Sean always like motions me forward towards
like,
the mic.
Try like it's like a strangling yeah. motion.
Come here,
you need
so
to
I can
be in strangle
you.
Range or else.
Hey Gabers, today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Hey Gabers, this episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch. And honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
The audio is fucked.
What's that place we went? Harrison Hot Springs.
Oh, I didn't go.
We went
we,
there.
You
we,
and
me and Julius. What's that place we went for?
You think I have a calendar of what? Sorry, was that July 2016? You guys were in Harrison Hot Springs.
Okay. Anyways, Julie and I went to Harrison Hot Springs for Valentine's Day. Two Valentine's Days now ago, like right before COVID shut down, or COVID shut down the world. You know what I mean?
I think people get it.
Yeah, people get it. Trying to explain. Have you guys
heard? COVID's been shut down for a year now. Why are we still doing this?
And anyways, after we went there, we were like driving back. And if you know the BC area, there's like some more like outskirt areas like Chilliwack and Abbotsford that aren't as like outwardly queer friendly as more central downtown Vancouver would be. Even like when it comes to politically, there's a lot of people that are running out in those areas that like outwardly stand against gay people or against abortion rights, things like that.
And that is, we're not just going to put the U.S. on blast because there is also, it's only one. Mm-hmm. I know it's only one, but there is one billboard on the way to my cabin when you pass through Chilliwack that I think says like something about like God hating abortions or something. It's abortion, but there is like a touch of God to it too.
Yeah. Or even when they were putting the rainbow crosswalk out of Chilliwack, it was like people were protesting it and stuff. So it's just to give you a little, if you're not from the area, give you a little sense of why it might feel a little bit different in that area. It's smaller town vibes. So anyways, Julia and I stopped at this restaurant that we had like heard was amazing for brunch. And it's Valentine's Day, like it's actual Valentine's Day brunch. So everyone in there is couples having brunch. And literally the server walks over, so nice, and is chatting with us and goes, takes order and goes,
I know
well, and goes, well, good for you girls. Who needs men on Valentine's Day? Like, meaning like we weren't going to have a bad Valentine's Day because we were single.
It's just girls' night.
We were going to be like, you know what? The two of us girls are just going to go it anyways. We're not going to sit around and feel sorry for ourselves that we don't have a man.
At least the bitch didn't say, oh, so we're just waiting for two more?
But, like, that's the thing. And when you know what Julia looks like, it's like, that's how out of tune some people are. Yeah. It's not even like they have the awareness of stereotypically, like, Julia looks like a stereotypical lesbian.
Yeah.
Like, it's just totally out of touch for them.
I think another example is a similar area. I was in Hope with one of my besties, Jet, and our other friend from Toronto. This was years, probably like 4 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And we went on a hike. We went to like Othello tunnels.
Okay,
and we did that other weird train bridge thing. The trestle thing. Anyways.
Good for you.
And we were starving.
Yeah.
So we decided to stop at... we should have expected it.
Yeah.
But we decided to stop at basically what was the town diner in Hope.
Yeah.
And I kid you not, we walked in. Three very evidently gay men. It was like all the music stopped.
It's like one of those movie moments.
I'm not kidding you. I wish this was an exaggeration.
Mm-hmm.
It was to the point that I was looking around and people had food on their forks and were just like as in they stopped bite, jaw open, hadn't finished their bite of pancake yet.
Oh my God.
Because the most shocking thing had entered the town.
this is going in the Hope.
And then I sat down and I was like, what are your vegan options?
Oh my God.
Yeah, so I was dancing around the stake of that town for sure.
Honestly. Yeah, I just feel like that's the time that it really stands out to me in a sense of it being potentially like worrisome.
Yeah.
Is like when I feel like when I get that moment of like my back goes up of like unsafety of like being out of town and just not knowing how people are going to react.
Yeah.
And then on the like flip side, there's day to day coming out.
I think this all comes from one misconception that is promoted by media, movies, books, everything, is that there is a coming out.
Yes, yes.
Brad came out, and now the whole world knows. You know, there was fireworks. His mom cried. His sister was like, "I knew it." Yeah. There were balloons. There was a rainbow cake.
Yeah.
The whole high school found out at once. He went to prom with a boy. That was it. Yeah. Done forever.
That's where the movie ends.
The movie keeps going,
And
it gets a lot worse.
That was inspirational. Thank you.
Yeah,
Sean,
it gets better. It does get better.
Yeah, you get better at it.
Exactly, but it gets worse in terms like, you start realizing that there is no end.
Oh,
I will be 75 years old in a retirement being like, I'm gay! I'm gay!
No, like, actually. And at that point, your voice will have changed into, like, old man voice, and you probably won't sound
I know, I kind of just added, like, a Minnesota vibe
to it. Yeah, kind of liked that for you, honestly. Yeah, no, for example, I had a building inspection this week at one of my, for anyone just tuning in, I'm in real estate, so one of my clients had a building inspection, and the realtor the fact that no one can see what you're talking about.
I was just sucking back some LaCroix.
I like to clarify for everyone that he meant his straw when he said that.
Sorry, I sucked that real hard. Was that good for you?
Oh my God. So yeah, I'm at this building inspection. I'm the real estate agent of the buyers. The selling agent is also there because they're representing their clients. So they sit in during the building inspection.
Right.
Anyway, so I get there with my clients and we're like walking around talking, and my clients are friends of mine. So I fully know that they know I'm gay. And at this point, I'm not even really thinking about that, obviously, but we're talking about Julia and I. And then we walk into the house and I, you know, go in and I recognize the agent. I'm like, hey, how's it going? Whatever. And we're talking for a bit. And she goes, where are you living right now? And I, once again, like I talked about, I think a couple of episodes ago, about the dentist panic. I didn't do that, but it's that moment where I'm like, oh, does she know I'm gay?
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, I'm living here. And she's like, oh, cool. Are you still living with Julia? And I was like, yes. So it's funny because, like, she already knew, and I guess, I don't know, maybe just seeing, who knows, maybe she has me on Facebook, or maybe she has me on whatever. But it's still that moment
Do I lie?
Of, like, my brain clicking in, like, does she know yet? Should I give her the extra information? Oh, yes, she already knows. Okay, good. I don't even have to deal with this.
Yeah.
And it's like that moment of relief.
Is my earring Julia or my grandma Jean? It's always, you gotta...
Excuse me, that's June to you?
Oh, right, June. Sorry. Sorry, I forgot your made-up grandma's name. How inconsiderate of me.
But yeah, no. It's that weird moment of relief when someone already knows. Because because now I'm not worried about anyone knowing because... I want to clarify that. If people aren't already out, you're not giving them relief by telling more people.
Yes.
But now that I'm quite obviously out on social media publicly, I'll be
obnoxiously.
Both. Obnoxiously, yeah. Correct.
Almost two out.
Just bring it back in a
bit. Just reel her in a little bit.
It's like a moment of relief of like, oh, I don't have to figure out a way to say this. Because usually when I get those conversations, and unfortunately... Because I'm in the real estate industry, it centers a lot around where you live.
Totally.
And, like, why you moved there, why you live there. And so clients often will be like, oh, do you live around this area? Like, where do you live? And it's, like, just natural questions that, like, usually would be like, oh, me and my husband live over here. Me and my whatever. And it's, like, I feel myself omitting information just so that I don't have to say like, oh yeah, me and my girlfriend actually be over there, and then see their wheels turn for that moment.
Girlfriend.
Because it's like, I don't care. Girlfriend. It's just like, oh, we're trying to talk about like real estate and I just know this is going to be a moment. Yeah. And it's just irritating.
Absolutely.
So it's like weirdly refreshing when like someone already knows, or like I've had certain clients that are like, oh my God, like it's so funny. I also like watch your YouTube videos or podcasts.
You're like, thank God.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's in one breath horrifying. So I'm like, oh, my life flashes before my eyes.
Yeah, because like, you're like, I was fucking pussy out at the beach.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. Just in case your last YouTube video. But it is like a relief. I'm just like, okay, like I just feel like that's already out there, because there's those weird things that happen where it's like, it's not going to affect my life if I bring this up or not. So sometimes, unfortunately, it's just like easier not to give that additional information because I'm not lying. Like the dentist one, I was actually lying and like covering up my queerness, which I think is very different than just like, just saying what you have to say in a professional setting and just to get through. Because sometimes it is. It's also just fucking emotionally draining to constantly feel like you're waiting for someone's response.
I've even had it, not recently, but I've even had it where somebody has asked if I think it has been somebody has asked if I was dating or if I was seeing anybody.
Yeah.
And I've had times that I have been seeing people and I just said no.
You just say no just to make
because I just didn't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And that's honestly okay.
That's
There's
okay.
also times that we as queer people have to do so much more explaining and discussing things that aren't, first of all, always appropriate.
Yeah.
And second of all, none of some people's business. Like, that's kind of the 100%. Issue. Sometimes you know, it is a conversation that's good to have, but sometimes you just want to fucking sell a house or get a coffee or something.
No, 100%. And it's just like, I don't need to go any further with this.
Like, we're having a quick interaction. I don't want to tell you all of my dating history, why I have to prove to you that I'm not bi, that I'm actually a lesbian, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, there aren't straight people having to have this conversation.
And I think that people underestimate the emotional strain of, like, when people, like, think about this, they think that we're talking about, like, we're worried someone's going to be like, oh, what? You're gay or something. It's not even that. It's just, like, the emotional strain of seeing those wheels turn gets exhausting
and
after a while.
Sometimes, like, you also, this is probably even bad, but sometimes you get people that have great positive reactions, but it's like, that's not what every second of my life has to be about.
Uh-huh.
And then sometimes we'll be like, oh, well, my dog's step-cousin's walker is
gay.
Gay.
So
and it's
good.
Like,
it's
great,
a good way
I actually just want to pick up my sandwich.
Yeah,
but,
thank you.
You know?
100%.
So I do, like, sometimes you don't, first of all, you don't need to offer anybody any information about your story.
No.
But yeah, just know that it is draining sometimes.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just want to vibe and sometimes you're hungover.
Yeah. My least favorite is when you're buying something as like a gift and they go, oh, who's this for? And you're like, it's like such a direct question that you're like, you have to answer it.
Yeah.
And or else it's like, what are you supposed to say? Mind your fucking business. And they're like, okay, psycho, I was just asking who the flowers are for. But they always do that. Like, there's actually this flower place by where we live that I used to go to, and I stopped because every time, I think it's like literally was part of their training or something, they would always be like,
what are these for?
Oh, and who is it for today?
Just say you're,
and I'm like,
my grandpa died.
God, like, seriously, like, my 18th dog of the year has died.
Yeah,
sorry.
Just getting some flowers for myself.
And it's like,
again,
once again, there's nothing wrong with me saying, oh, they're for my girlfriend.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, sometimes you just like,
that is kind of weird
process.
Because I don't think, I did joke about a grandparent dying, but I don't think flowers are, I would say
it's
there's almost
personal.
Like a 50-50.
Yes.
It's like, it could be a breakup, could be a makeup, could be a death, could be a birthday,
it's
could be
a
get
thing.
Well soon.
Oh,
this
God.
Is just for my friend who's in the hospital.
Yeah,
like,
fuck.
Who are these for? Fuck off.
Yeah, like seriously.
Yeah.
Or even
who are these
like,
for? Visa. I'm paying with Visa.
Visa, thank you.
Yeah.
I would like the brown wrapping.
Yeah,
thank you.
So just to wrap it up,
as
once again, this is the part that I can't super relate to, but as somebody who has to go through it more often because you seem like a straight bitch, just visually, what are your advices or what are your tactics when you have to do it in an everyday situation?
Honestly, number one is don't feel like you have to ever offer up private information that you're not comfortable with. Yeah. It's okay to like omit information because you don't want to deal with the... I'm looking for a word. The, like, mental processing or, like, what potentially could be the response. And, like you said, even a positive one sometimes feels mentally draining because it's like, oh, we're doing this now.
Yeah. So we're doing the parade now.
We're doing the thing. We're learning about all your gay customs. Yeah. Thank you. Second is if you do want to, like, if it's someone that you think it's going to eventually build up like a new employee at your work that you're going to be working with a long time. Yeah. Do it as quickly as possible because I've been in scenarios where I feel like I've known people for a long time in like a work sense or like a client sense or whatever, where it's like almost built up. And then I'm like, now it seems so big.
Daunting.
And it's not big, but it's just like once you kind of skirt it a few times, it gets harder.
Yeah.
So I think like, you know, right off the bat, like, asking them a question about themselves and responding with like, oh my God, that's so cool because me and my girlfriend love to go to this, you know?
So what's your name? I'm gay.
Yeah.
So what was your name though? Exactly. I'll go first. I'm gay.
Exactly.
Yeah. So do you like the company? Okay, I'm gay.
Oh my God. Or you could just go, you could be real out there with it and get like a rainbow pin or something. And workplaces that you're constantly like in a professional setting. Or, I would never, because I hate what rainbows look like.
Yeah. You know when people get married and their cars say just married with the things clanging around?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe if it's a new employee or something, just put I'm gay with some shit clanging around.
Oh, yeah. I like
that. So when you drive off at the end of the day, they have to look. They're like, what's that fucking ruckus?
A Lady Gaga flash mob the first day.
Yeah.
First morning.
I want your stupid love.
Just subtle things.
Just subtle things like a big trail of loose cans behind your car that has been painted entirely rainbow while Stupid Love blares from the roof. And you have lesbian strippers dancing on the roof. Just subtlety, subtlety. Just,
Nice and subtle. All right, well, there you have it. Wherever you're listening, please follow or subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. And again, you can find us on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast, and you can click the link in our bio for merch and for our Patreon. Thank you again to all of our patrons. You mean so much to us. And you can also find us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson, and on, what's it called again? TikTok.
Oh.
At I Can Explain Podcast at
like,
Brianne Williamson.
Pinterest.
Yeah. LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Yeah, until next time, we will
see you around the neighborhood. Just on your phone.